Lord, we do praise you and thank you. We just lift you up and exalt you. And we do know that the more that we know you, the more that your word is in us, the more that you are in us, the more that's what we speak. And we do want to speak with your power. We do want to speak with your authority. We want to walk in all the things that you have for us. We want to walk in all the things that you have for us, but we also want to be able to speak your truth, your power, and your life into the lives of others. I know that as we are gathered here this morning, probably everyone has something in their mind that is just either a large or a small concern or worry. And it's so easy for us to take those things, and the world teaches us. The world tells us what's contrary to you. The world tells us to focus on those things and to think about what it's going to look like, to take a problem and to see it down the road and to see the disaster and to picture all the bad things that can come. But instead, we choose to look at these things when problems come because we're blessed and not cursed. When problems come, we walk in your blessing. And so we see those things that come as opportunities to see your faithfulness, to see your power moving in our lives. And so when the enemy tells us there's defeat, we laugh and say we walk in the victory of Jesus Christ because we are not under the curse. We are blessed. So we thank you and praise you for that. And as we are blessed in you, we bless you by saying thank you, Jesus. We love you. You be glorified in these lives. You be glorified in us. Today and every day, you be glorified. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You guys can be seated. So for the last 2 weeks, I've been talking about the power of the words that we speak. The power of life and death being in the tongue. Within the words that we speak is the power for life, and within the words that we speak is also the power for death. Now, we've been focusing on two things in specific the last 2 weeks. We've been looking at the fact that we need to make sure that the words that we speak are words that match His words. And the other thing is, we need to make sure, we need to guard our lips, guard our mouths, and make sure that we're not saying things that are contrary to God's word. Now, what I want to do today is look at a specific biblical account that shows us once again, in this account, you're going to see the power of life and death, the power that is in the spoken word, and why it's so important for us to make sure that our words that come out of our mouths partner with His word, and the words that we say are not contrary to the things in His word. The story I want to talk about this morning is the story of Balaam. Balaam takes place in Numbers chapter 22, 23, and 24. Now, obviously, I can't read all three of those chapters to you this morning. So let me just summarize what takes place, and then we'll look at some of these specific verses themselves. So this is taking place in Numbers. This is just before the Israelites are getting ready to enter into the promised land. Now, we know that what's taking place just before this is Israelites have had two major victories over the Amorites and over the city-state of Bashan. And we see that the city that they're right there next to is Moab. And the story is about the king of Moab, whose name is Balak, and Balaam. The king of Moab, Balak, King Balak, he has seen all these things that have taken place. And the Bible tells us that he's in a state of desperation. He's in despair because he's seen God going before the Israelites. So in his despair, he gathers the elders of the Midianites, and others, in other words, some of the other city-states that are around there, he gathers them, and they determine what they need to do is send some envoys up to Pethor, because up there is a soothsayer named Balaam. And he wants to bring Balaam down to Moab and to speak a curse over the Israelites. King Balak understands something that we so often overlook. King Balak understands the power of the spoken word. He understands it, and he knows if he can get this man to come and speak a curse, he believes in the power of the spoken word. He believes that it'll be a curse on Israel. So he sends representatives up to Balaam. And the representatives meet with Balaam, and they express what it is that King Balak is looking for. And Balaam says to those representatives, "Lodge here tonight, and perhaps God will speak to me, and then I will tell you what he has said." And so during the night, God speaks to Balaam. And God says, "Who are these people that have come for you?" And Balaam explains it to him. And God says, you will not go with these men, and you will not speak a curse over Israel, because they are blessed. So Balaam sends all these representatives back down to Moab with the message that says, I cannot speak a curse over Israel because God has not given me permission to do so. So Balak is a man that is determined. And so he decides, I'm going to send some higher ranking dignitaries. I will send more noble men, and I will offer promises of greater financial rewards and greater honor to Balaam. And basically, he sends them back up, and Balaam, the same thing takes place. Balaam greets them and says, lodge here tonight. We'll see what it is that God says to me. And at night, God says to Balaam, you are not to go with those men. However, if they come to you in the morning, then you may go with them, but you will only speak the words that I tell you to speak. So we see the importance here of, again, we need to make sure that our words match up with God's words. And this is the prime importance that God is sharing with Balaam. You will only say the words that are in my words. Now, he said that Balaam could go with him if they came to him. Now, Balaam wants, his heart, he wants to speak a curse over Israel. Not that he cares about Israel one way or the other, but it's to his advantage. There is financial blessing coming his way and great honor if he can speak this curse over Israel. He wants to. So the Bible tells us he didn't wait. He gets up in the morning and he saddles his donkey and he gets ready to go with these men. God had said if they come to him, he should. But he's anxious to go. So he saddles his donkey. He's ready to go. And it says that God's anger was against him because he did this. And then this leads into that story that we're all familiar with Balaam and his donkey that speaks to him. And because Balaam disobeyed God, Balaam's riding on his donkey, and the donkey's walking in the way, and the angel of the Lord appears in front of Balaam to stop him from going, but Balaam's blind and can't see it. He's blind and just seeing the natural, not seeing the spiritual. He can't see. But the donkey sees the angel of God. And so the donkey goes off the path and goes into a field, and Balaam strikes him, brings him back. They go a little bit further. And the donkey sees once again the angel of God, but now they're in between two vineyards, and there's a wall on either side. So the donkey has to keep going forward. But to avoid the angel of the Lord, he comes up against the wall, and he crushes Balaam's leg against the wall. And Balaam, once again in anger, strikes the donkey. And then they go a little bit further. Now the angel of God appears, and it's in a place where there is no room to maneuver. The donkey can't go to the right or to the left, but he doesn't want to go to the angel of the Lord. So the donkey just lays down and crushes Balaam's foot beneath him. And Balaam in anger strikes him again. And this is where God then opens up the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey says, why are you striking me? And Balaam says, if I had a sword, I would kill you right now. And the donkey says, have I not always been your donkey? And have I not always served you? Have I always served you well? And the angel of the Lord opened up the eyes of Balaam. And Balaam sees the angel of the Lord. And in shame, because he knows he's disobeyed the Lord, he says, forgive me. I will go back. And the angel of the Lord says, no, go forward, but only say and speak the words that I tell you to speak. Say only the words that match his words. So Balaam goes. He meets up with King Balak. I'm going to tell you in advance. At least once this morning, I'm going to confuse the words Balak and Balaam. So try to stick with me. Donna will, if I get it messed up, I'm sure Donna will say something. The names are so similar. So he gets to King Balak, and Balak says to him, why did you hesitate to come? I have these great rewards for you. And Balaam says, I have only the power to say the words that God has given me. So King Balak takes Balaam, and he takes him to a place where he can see all of the vast number of the Israelites. And then Balaam says to Balak, build an altar. Let's make a sacrifice. They do that. He goes off to a high place. He waits to hear from the Lord. The Lord speaks to him and gives him a specific word to say. Balaam comes back down. He meets with King Balak. And he says exactly the words that God gave him to speak. His words match God's words. And these are words of blessing over Israel because God has blessed Israel. And King Balak is confused and in dismay. Because all of a sudden, he understands, again, something that we don't understand. He understands the power of the spoken word. And he's distraught because all of a sudden, Balaam, the soothsayer, has spoken words of blessing where he wanted words of curse. So Balak says to Balaam, Come with me. And he takes him to another place, a place where Balaam can't see the vast numbers. It's a place where he only sees a portion of the people. Because Balaam is thinking, well, maybe Balaam was intimidated by the numbers. So I'll take him to this place. He won't see as many. And we'll do it again. So they build the altars. They make the offerings. Balaam goes up to hear from God. He comes back and he speaks the exact word for word what God said for him to speak. And Balak, once again, hears this blessing spoken over the people that he wants to have cursed. And in dismay, he says, look, don't bless or don't curse at all. Just say nothing at all. And what Balaam says is, I must speak all the things that God says. And then the story goes on that Balak takes him to another place and says, well, hopefully I'll bring him to this place and maybe he will then speak a curse over the people of Israel. Same thing, have the offering, but this time, and this is interesting to me, this time Balak understands that God's heart is to bless the people of Israel. And where God had spoken to him previously, Balaam doesn't even go to seek after God. He just faces the wilderness. So he's looking where the people of the Israelites are. He faces the wilderness and he just speaks as the Holy Spirit speaks to him. He doesn't even go listen for God. The Holy Spirit tells him exactly what to say. And he speaks once again words of blessing over Israel. Well, now King Balak is just angry. And he says, just go back to your land. Do so in a hurry. And in response to that, Balaam speaks one more prophecy of blessing over the Israelites. And then it says that Balak arose and went his way, and Balaam went his way. And the word of God is final. Listen, if God says you're blessed, you're blessed. And this is the power of the spoken word, because you are blessed in Jesus Christ. And so our words need to match up with his word. We need to speak the blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ, because he's already provided those things for us. It doesn't matter what things look like in your life. It doesn't matter what your body tells you. It doesn't matter what your bank account tells you. It doesn't matter what others tell you. All that matters is what this word says. What this word tells you is what the truth is. And if your circumstances, if this is the promise and your circumstances are totally diametrically opposed way over here, you keep speaking, because the power of life and death is in the tongue. You keep speaking this word. Keep speaking this word. And eventually, your circumstances will line up with what this word says. This is the importance of our speaking the things and saying only the things that match up with God's words and never speaking things that are contrary to God's word. So as we're thinking about the story of Balaam and Balak, and we'll look at it in more detail, but Balak is trying, he wants a curse spoken over the Israelites. God wants us to speak words of curse over our own situation. Balak wants a curse spoken over Israel. Now before we look at the details of the story, I want us to see, because when we look at that story, it's important for us to remember this. We are not under the curse. As believers in Jesus Christ, as those of us who have accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus, we are not under the curse. We are blessed in Jesus. We're blessed in Jesus. This is what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verses number 13 and 14. I want us to remember this, because we're talking about in the story, as we go through it, there's a lot of the curses. I want us to understand, we are not under the curse. But the words that we speak are still important. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, as Jesus did for us. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We are blessed and not cursed. Now there might be things in your life, that feel more like a curse than a blessing. And maybe it's something that is with sickness. Maybe it's something with finances. Maybe it's something that you feel like there's a failure that you've had in your life or a setback that's in your life. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it is just the emotions. It's anything that is opposed to the promises that are here in Jesus Christ. If you feel things in your life that feel more like a curse than a blessing, remember, you are not under the curse. You are blessed in Jesus Christ. And so, nothing can stand, nothing in this world can stand against his word spoken in faith Nothing can stand against it. We saw last week, not even the gates of Hades itself can stand against this word spoken in faith. This is the power of life and death that's in the tongue. Bad things are going to come to us in this life. I mean, it's just the way it is. Being a Christian doesn't mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen to you. Bad things will come to us in this life because we live in a fallen world. Bad things will come. But when bad things come, we need to remember this promise, this truth, which is spoken to us in Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 2. I love this verse. It says, like a flittering sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. What does that mean? Life is going to bring against us things that are from the curse. Life is going to bring bad things because we live in a fallen world. But here's the thing to remember. Life might bring a curse, but it cannot stay. It cannot alight. It cannot remain with you because you're blessed in Jesus. When we speak words that match His word, when we speak words that partner with His words, the curse has to flee. We have the truth of Jesus Christ. We are blessed and not cursed. The curse without cause, any curse that comes upon you, anything that is contrary to this, it's a curse without cause because of Jesus Christ. Because you're in Christ, it has no cause against you. And so it must take flight when your words partner with this word. It must take flight. As your words partner with His words, and you speak His words in the authority of Jesus' name. These are the promises that we have. This is the power of life and death that is in the tongue. Now, let's look at the story that we're talking about with Balaam. So, chapter 22. Let's look at the first verse, verse number 1. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. So here's the picture that we get. The Israelites have not yet moved into the promised land, but they are poised to do so. They are right there on the opposite side. They're on the east side of the Jordan River, getting ready to cross over. And then they will take Jericho. This verse, the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan across from Jericho. When you read these verses of what's taking place and you understand that they're getting ready to move into the promised land, this is a spiritual snapshot of our lives. This is a picture of us because here are the Israelites. They are poised and ready, prepped to move into the promised land, to move into the promised land that God has established for them. But they have an enemy. Their enemy, King Balak, wants to hinder them, halt them from moving on. Just as today, Satan, the enemy of your soul, wants to keep you from moving into the promises that are yours in Jesus. The enemy wants to do the same thing to you and I. The power of life and death being in the tongue, this is not just a spiritual principle. This is a spiritual law. So just like the physical law of, like for example, gravity, the physical law of gravity is universal. It doesn't matter where you go. When Sarah goes back to Virginia next week, guess what? Gravity's going to be there and it's going to work. It doesn't matter where we go. Gravity works. It's universal. Well, the spiritual law of the tongue is the same thing. It's universal. The spiritual law of the tongue. Always. We're speaking life or we're speaking death. The problem is that we tend to ignore this law. But King Balak understands the law, and that's why we can learn from him. Not a good man, but we can learn from him. Because King Balak understands the law, and he works within the law. He goes, and he's hiring a soothsayer to come and to bring a curse and to speak a curse upon Israel. Sadly, Satan doesn't have to go very far to find someone to speak words that are contrary to the Word of God in our lives. Because usually we're more than ready, we're more than willing to speak forth those very words that will bring about our own setbacks and our own defeats. We're all too willing to speak the words that align with and match the words of the world instead of matching the words of God. These words, the promises that are us, because you're blessed. You're blessed in Jesus Christ. And so these promises, each of these promises is for us. So King Balak sends these representatives, these envoys. He sends these people a great distance away, up to the land of the Euphrates River. He sends them up for the purpose of enticing Balaam the soothsayer to come back to Moab and to speak a curse over Israel. Joshua, if you can bring us up that Google map, I want us to see how committed, just how committed King Balak is. He's committed to understanding and to knowing and believing the power that is in the spoken word. Because I want you to see how far he is going. So you see Moab right here. Here's the Dead Sea, Jericho, Jerusalem is like right here. So we're here in Moab. The people of the Israelites are right here, getting ready to cross over. Here's Moab. This is how far King Balak is going to send. Keep going up, keep going up, keep going up, keep going up. There's the Euphrates River. Up here, Pethor. That's where Balaam is. It's just under 400 miles from here to Pethor. 400, there's no Greyhound buses. 400 miles is a long way to go. And remember, we see that he's making this journey twice. He's sending two separate envoys. This is how committed he is. He understands the power of the spoken word. Now, you picture that, and leave this up for just a moment, Joshua. You picture that, and it makes me ask a couple of questions. The first question is, way up there in Pethor, how does Balaam, that far away, the Israelites are way down here, how does Balaam, that far away, how does he know about God? Because the Israelites and God, way down here, how does he know about God? Because the text tells us, undeniably, that Balaam is hearing from God. He's not hearing from a voice of Satan deceiving. He is hearing from God, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's hearing from God. How's he doing that way up there? How does he even know about God? How is that possible? And how does he hear about God way up there in the land of Baal? That's the land of Baal. In fact, Balaam's name even means Lord Baal, Lord of the people. That's what his name means. Yet he knows God. And then think about this. If you can pull that out even a little bit further, Joshua. So he's way up there in Pethor. How does he know about the God of the Israelites who are down here? Because the Israelites have been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. How does he know? Who has he talked to? And before they were in the wilderness, they were in Egypt for 400 years. How does he, all the way up there, know about God? Here's another question for you. Consider this. How is it that the words of King Balak, it strikes me as odd that the words of King Balak that he uses to describe Balaam, they are the identical words that God uses to speak his words of covenant with Abraham. The words we just read in verse number 6, King Balak said of Balaam, I know that those that you bless are blessed and those that you curse are cursed. Look at this. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3. This is God's covenant with Abraham. In Genesis 12, 3, it says, God saying, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. The same words. Does that not strike you guys as odd? That struck me as both of those questions. How does this happen? I asked God, how does this happen? Because I was getting ready for this week, and I thought, like, I gotta be able to understand this myself. And here's what it means. Here's how this all ties together. Here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. And this is awesome. King Balak knows of Balaam because they have a shared heritage. King Balak knows of Balaam because if you read verse number 5. Read it in your verses. I didn't pull it up here because I just want to tell you about it. In verse number 5, it says that the people of Balaam are the children of his people, referring to King Balak. So King Balak, these are essentially his children. So these are Moabites that generations earlier had left the land of Moab and have moved and resettled way up north in Pethor. These are the same people. They have family ties. And it's those same shared bloodlines that also explain to us how King Balak and how Balaam both know and understand who God is, and how they both know that there's a covenant that God has made with Abraham. Because think about this, King Balak, he is the king of Moab. Moab is the people of Lot. This is the lineage that comes from Lot. Remember who Lot was. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Lot was with Abraham during that whole time that God gave that Abrahamic covenant, spoke that to Abraham. And Lot personally experienced on more than one occasion, Lot experienced the power and the blessings of God's covenant with Abraham. Does that make sense? So the people of Lot, which is now Moab, and is also the people of Balaam to the north, they would have certainly, from the time of Lot, through all the succeeding generations, would have been told the story of the God of Abraham and the covenant that God made with Abraham. And here, all these generations later, here's Balaam, who has learned, he's from that heritage, he's learned to hear from God and even to speak the word of God prophetically. So that's how it all, does it make sense? So that's how this whole thing ties together. Now, let's look at verse number 12. And God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them." So Balaam has sent up this first series of envoys to speak to Balaam and to entice him to come back. And God says to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." This is why it's so imperative that our words partner and match up with the word of God. This is why it's so imperative that our words match up, because the only way, remember I said bad things will come into our life? The only way that we will miss the blessings, which are yours, the people of Israel were blessed because God blessed them and he spoke blessing over them. You are blessed in Jesus Christ. The only way that we will miss those blessings of Jesus Christ, the only way is if we will forsake those blessings because of our unbelief. Our unbelief, which is reflected by our words that we speak, which become words that are in conflict with the word of God and with his promises. That's the only way that we miss out on the blessings, because you're blessed. You're blessed in Jesus. Amen? Let's go down and look at, well, you don't have to look at it. I'm going to tell you about verses 13 through 35. So from there, we see that Balaam sends those envoys back down to Moab and to Balak. And he goes back with them, and he sends that message back with them that says, "I will not and I cannot speak a curse over the people of Israel, because God has not given me permission to speak a curse over them." But Balak is a man that understands the power of the spoken word. And because Balak, which we should use as an example, he's an evil man, but we can learn from him. Balak understands the power of the spoken word, so he won't relent. And Balak says, "I'm going to send even more noble people with greater promises of reward and honor for Balaam." So he sends up the second series of people to go speak to Balak. I'm sorry, to speak to Balaam. Now, let me pause for a second, because when we think of people of antiquity, like the Moabites, when we think of people of antiquity, we tend to view them as being very archaic. We think that they're backwards. We think that they're so much less than we are. We think that they're uncouth. I mean, we just think of them in those terms. We think of them that way, and we even use the names of people groups to show our derision for them as we look at them. For example, think about the word Philistines. We use the term Philistines, who are a people group, a people of antiquity. We use the word Philistines. We use that to refer to a people that we deem to be beneath us, that we deem to be uncouth and uncivilized. If you see someone that you think is beneath you, that is uncivilized, you say, "Well, they're just Philistines." So we tend to look at people of antiquity and we think of them as being archaic and beneath us. And yet, these people of antiquity, people like King Balak, who's an evil king, these people of antiquity, they were wise well beyond seemingly our ability to grasp and understand simple concepts like the power of life and death being in the word, the spiritual law of the tongue, and the things that we speak. They understood those things. Balak, look at the degree that he went to. Look at the effort that he put forth. Not once, twice, going 400 miles to bring one man down to speak a curse. He understands. This is the effort that he put forth to bring a man to speak a curse over Israel. Conversely, today, and to our detriment, we put forth very little effort at all to guard the words that come out of our mouth. We put forth very little effort at all to speak blessing. These promises and these blessings, we put forth very little effort to speak blessing over our lives or over the lives of others, even though we have the authority to do so in the name of Jesus. This is what we have. Now, it goes on from there, and this is where we get to the story of Balaam's donkey. So Balaam comes with the second group of envoys. He goes with them, comes back to Moab with them. And it's on that journey that we see that story. And this is the story of Balaam's donkey speaking to him. It's a good story, but it's a story for another time because it has so much to it. This is the important thing I want us to see from that story, that part of the story with Balaam's donkey. The important thing to see and to remember is that had Balaam's donkey not acted and spoken as he did, Balaam would have been killed by the angel of the Lord. That's what the angel of the Lord said. I'd have killed you. God had to be certain that Balaam understood that the only words that he could speak over the people that he blessed, Israel, he had to be certain that Balaam understood he could only speak words that God gave him. And I trust you, at that point, Balaam understands his life depends on his speaking words that are the words of God. That's a powerful thing. All right, so let's go to the next chapter, chapter 24. I'm just going to read the first four verses. I'm sorry, chapter 23. So Numbers chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build seven altars for me here, and prepare for me here seven bulls and seven rams." And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stand by your burnt offerings. I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me. And whatever he shows me, I will tell you." So he went to the desolate height, and God met with Balaam, and he said to him, "I've prepared seven altars, and I've offered on each altar a bull and a ram." Balaam so desperately wants to be able to speak a curse over Israel because he knows there's great financial reward. He wants to speak a curse. So he offers these sacrifices to the Lord, hoping that he can sway God to allow him to speak a curse over Israel. But all God wants from Balaam, he just wants Balaam to speak blessing over the people of Israel because they are blessed by God. You are blessed in Jesus Christ. You are blessed in Jesus. God just wants our words to match his blessings that he's already prepared for us. He just wants us to match those blessings. What are the words that we're speaking? So Balaam comes down from those heights, and he brings the word that the Lord had given him, and he speaks that word in the presence of King Balak, and it's a word of blessing over the Israelites. What you say matters. It makes a difference. If you want to see the promises of Jesus Christ in your life and in the lives of others, speak it. Speak the word. We're sometimes so hesitant to speak the word. Speak the word. In the last 3 weeks, because I've been talking about this, in the last week, there's five different people that have come to me with either something in their lives or something that someone that they cared about, that they wanted. Five different times I've stood with people and I've said, "I'll tell you what, let's commit together. Let's make a covenant between you and I. We will pray. I will pray out loud every day, and I will speak blessing, and I will pray as the Holy Spirit leads me over that situation or over that person, if you will too." This is the power of the spoken word. We need to be faithful in speaking his word and standing together with others and speaking his word. If we want to see the impact of his promises in our lives and the lives of others, let's speak his word, but let's also join together and speak his word together and do it on an ongoing basis so we can say every day, This one guy, I text him every day, and I said, hey, prayed for you about this today. Thanking Jesus that this is done. I don't have to keep going back and just praying the same thing over. I prayed once. When I pray the next time, I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, that this is done. And if the Holy Spirit shows me to say something that, hey, if this is in the way, get this out of the way. In the authority of Jesus' name, I remove those obstacles. Speak His word. Let's make sure that we are speaking His word so that we walk in His blessings and that others walk in His blessings as well. Because you know what? As other people are blessed and as other people see the power of Jesus Christ demonstrated by our faithfulness, that's going to change the culture around you. People will come and want to know more. They'll want to know, why is it your life is different? Why is it that you have problems and you have struggles, but you overcome and you're not defeated? You wind up blessed. Why is it? This is what brings people to a hunger for the things of Jesus Christ. Verses 11 and 12, chapter 23. Then Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you've blessed them bountifully. So he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth? You know Balaam's saying that because he knows his life is over if he doesn't. He's speaking the word of God. King Balak here is frantic because he understands the power of the spoken word. He's frantic because of these words of blessing that Balaam has just spoken over Israel. King Balak understands the power of the spoken word. King Balak understands the power of speaking the word of God out loud. We could learn a lot from this heathen king because he understood those things. So then King Balak takes Balaam, as I said, he takes him to another location, hoping that this time, just seeing a little portion of the Israelites, he won't be intimidated, thinking this will make a difference. And they go through the same thing. Balaam and Balak build these seven altars. They offer seven bulls and seven rams. Balaam goes off to seek for God, again, hoping to sway God, hoping that making this sacrifice, God will release him to speak a curse over the Israelites. Balaam comes down, has the word of God, speaks the word of God once again in the presence of King Balak, and he speaks blessing over the people of Israel. And this is where we see that the response that we get, and look at the part of the blessing. Look at part of the blessing that Balaam actually speaks over the Israelites. In verse number 19, so this is Numbers 23, verse number 19, part of the blessing that he spoke, part of the blessing that so frustrates King Balak. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Man, these are words of life that we should remember every single day, because the word of God, all the promises that are here in the word of God, all of these promises are laid out before you every day. And guess what? God cannot lie. He has done the things that he said he would do. He's done them in Jesus Christ. Our part is to turn the key. Remember last week we learned about the keys of authority. Jesus has given us the keys of authority. So we turn the key in the door, and we turn the key, how? We turn the key by speaking his word. We have the authority of Jesus Christ. Put that authority in the door. You turn the key by speaking his word, and you open up the door of the storehouse of blessings that he has prepared for you. Somebody should have got excited about that. This is the promises that he has for us. There is a storehouse of blessing. Whatever your need is today, whatever your need is. I was just talking to Tom. I was just talking to Tom about this morning. You guys remember the story that I told you about the dream that Moses Vey had? Moses was walking down that road, walking down that walkway with Jesus. This is a dream that he had. He's walking with Jesus down the walkway, and he sees all these big warehouses on both sides of the road they're on, huge warehouses. And Moses said to Jesus, what are these warehouses? Jesus said, let's look. So he opens up the door of one of these warehouses, and as far as Moses could see, and he couldn't even see the back, and it's so high, from the floor to the ceiling, it's just all these boxes stacked up, all these things just stacked up. And Jesus said to him, this is a storehouse of blessing. This is one person's blessing. Every need that they have, I have already established and prepared for them. And it's here in this warehouse of blessing for them. It's here waiting for them to take delivery of it. We take delivery by turning the key, by speaking his word. And it opens up the door of those blessings, the storehouse of blessings that Jesus has for you, that he has for each one of us. Verses 25 and 26. Then Balak said to Balaam, here's the frustration of Balak. Look, neither curse them or bless them at all. Neither curse them or bless them at all. Neither curse them at all, neither bless them at all. So Balaam answered and said to Balak, did I not tell you, saying, all that the Lord speaks, I must do. Here's the dismay of King Balak out of his frustration. Look, just don't speak blessing or cursing. Just don't say anything at all. And Balaam responds to that, and Balaam says, what the Lord has spoken, I must say. This is sage advice for you and I in our lives today. We need to know all of the Word so we can speak all of the Word. Because in the Word, it's life and it's liberty to those who will speak it in faith. This is the promises that he has for us. We tend to be so hesitant sometimes to speak the Word of God for whatever reason. There's a lot of reasons. We hesitate to speak these things. Sometimes we hesitate because it just seems like it's impossible. Have you ever just faced a situation and you wanted to pray for it, you wanted to speak, but it just seems so impossible? It's hard to even speak the words. You feel silly speaking the words because it seems so impossible. Like, how can I pray to heal somebody when hospice is already in there taking care of them? I mean, it seems impossible to us in the natural, and so we hesitate to speak the Word. The Word that brings life. Or maybe sometimes because of past experiences have deceived us to believe that the Word doesn't work. Then what happens if we get to that place? We actually live a life of compromise. We live the life of compromise that Balak was seeking. It's the compromise of Satan that if he can get us to not stand and speak the Word of God, that is the compromise of Satan. If Satan can't get you to speak words that are contrary to this Word, all he has to do is get you to just not speak the Word. If he can get you to speak neither blessing or curses, fine with him. Because if he makes you reticent, uncomfortable to speak the Word of life, he has effectively kept you from the fullness of the things that God has for you. The power of the spoken Word. We need to speak the things of God. Speak those promises. As you get to the 24th chapter, we see that Balaam speaks the third blessing over Israel. So this is three times. Three times now, Balaam has spoken blessing over Israel. Now, King Balak is totally incensed by this. And in his anger, he actually threatens Balaam. And he says, just go back to your land and do it in a hurry. Here's the way it reads. This is verses 10 and 11. So then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together, and Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and look, you've bountifully blessed them these three times. Now therefore, flee to your place. I said I would greatly honor you, but in fact, the Lord has kept you back from honor. So Balak speaks those words, that threat, just go your own way and do it in a hurry. Here's Balaam's response to that. Balaam responds by speaking a fourth blessing over Israel. Speaking words that match up, that partner with God's words. A fourth blessing. And I don't have time to look at it, but one of the things I love about that, if you look through that fourth blessing that Balaam speaks, even in that fourth blessing, he's speaking prophetically. And he even speaks about the star that the Magi are going to see that will lead them to the Christ child in Matthew 2. This is a prophetic word. It's a powerful word. He's speaking the words of God. Speaking words that match up and line up with God's words. And then it says, after it was done, that Balaam arose and went his way, and King Balak went his way. The word of the Lord is final. And it's empowered by his believers, you and I, believers in Jesus Christ. It's empowered by his believers speaking words that partner with his words and speaking those words in faith. The power of life and death is in the tongue. What you say matters. And this is why it's so important for us to speak words that partner, that match with his words. And why it's so important for us to not speak the words that are contrary to the word. Or to the word. Not speak words that are contrary to the word. Not to speak the words of the world. Speak his word. Speak his word only. The lessons that we learn from Balaam, the lessons that we learn are even more true for you and I. Because we have the authority of Jesus Christ behind the words that we speak. Did you see the spiritual axiom that was up before we came in? When you speak the words of God, you have the thunderous voice of the Holy Spirit backing those words that you say. This is the power that we have. So think about the words that come out of your mouth. Whatever it is you're faced with this week, whatever it is you're dealing with, if it seems like it's contrary to the promises, speak the word of God. Speak His, you are blessed in Jesus. He wants you to speak words that match up with His blessings that He's already prepared for you. Speak words that match up with His words. Use the authority that you have, the keys of authority that He gave you. Put that key into the door of the storehouse of blessing and turn it by speaking words that match up with His words, and you open up the storehouse of blessing to all those things that Jesus has for you. Amen? You guys receive that? No, do you guys receive that? This is the words of life. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this. You be glorified. And let the word that we just shared this morning, let your word inspire each one of us to read through not just the story of Balaam, but all the things that we've just read and shared from your word over the last 3 weeks. Inspire us to read those, because as we each read it, you're going to speak to each one of us directly with words of truth to help strengthen us, to make sure that we are speaking words that match your words, that partner with your word, and never uttering words that line up with the world, never uttering words that are contrary to your word. We love you and we thank you, and I speak your blessing over every single person that is here, because you know the needs that they have. You know the blessings that they are seeking, the very blessings you've already prepared for them. It's in the storehouse of blessing that you have for them. And I thank you that you inspire each one of us to, as we go through the week, it doesn't matter what we see, we speak words that match your words. And as we speak those words, we are bringing those spiritual realities you've already established for us from that spiritual realm, from that warehouse of blessing in the spiritual realm, into this natural realm to displace the things of this natural realm that are contrary to your word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand up, and if you believe that, let's praise Him together from the depths of our hearts.